You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, Associate Foreign Minister Opito Williams announced that a medical and logistics team had been sent from New Zealand to Papua New Guinea to assist with the COVID-19 crisis there. The Papua New Guinea government had requested this sort of assistance from partnering countries, and Minister Williams said that New Zealand is committed to supporting our Pacific neighbours to get through the pandemic. Oxfam Aotearoa says this is a good start, but more needs to be done. I spoke to their communications and advocacy director, Dr. Joe Spratt, this morning about New Zealand's support for Papua New Guinea. We talked about how we're standing up as a good neighbour, and we also had a little bit of a chat about what the COVID situation is actually like in PNG. Here they are now.
Oxfam Aotearoa, we think this is a good start. It comes on top of about $14 million that the government has given over the last 2 years as the Papua New Guinea has gone through three waves of the coronavirus pandemic. This third wave has been the most severe, and the country really is in a crisis situation and has asked for help. So this team that's gone up for a month is a great start, but we don't think it's enough. The situation there is pretty awful. It is the biggest Pacific Island country, our neighbour, of 9 million people, and as recently said by our Foreign Minister, Minister Mahuta, they're part of our family. And when your family's in crisis, you really need to do a bit more than just send up a small team. We can certainly be giving a lot more support. And Papua New Guinea is also our biggest aid program, so we do have the capacity to do a bit more there.
So just to talk a little bit further about what the situation is like in Papua New Guinea at the moment, how has COVID happened there? What sort of situation are they in now? Is there currently, is it quite rife with COVID? Are vaccination rates going well? What is the situation?
I think to fully answer that question, it's good to try and get in your head what Papua New Guinea looks like on a day-to-day basis without the virus. And so it's a country that doesn't have many roads at all. Telecommunications are challenging. Most people live in really remote areas and walk or use boats to get from place to place. And the health system was extremely weak. So people might have to walk for a day to get to a health clinic, and then supplies are very limited. Just doesn't look like New Zealand. So the infrastructure and the institutions weren't there to begin with. And so then when you put a coronavirus outbreak on top of that, and Delta, which we all know how terribly fast that spreads, has really hit the country hard. And it's difficult to know the exact numbers because there is such limited testing and such limited ability to record and share information. But the official number is that there's over 30,000 cases in this wave and well over 400 deaths. But everybody acknowledges that this is is an underestimate. The numbers of cases and deaths will be far higher than that. And certainly talking to colleagues in Papua New Guinea, they talk about people dying in the villages and two people dying in families. And just the numbers seem a lot higher when you're talking to people on the ground. The vaccination rates, vaccines have been very slow to take on. Again, part of the challenge is the limited health system, but also because people are scared of the vaccination. And of course, they do get information through social media and places like that. So there is a kind of a hesitancy around taking the vaccine because people are just a little bit afraid of what it is and what it means because they don't understand. And there was some really great World Bank research out recently that showed when you gave people a little bit more information, particularly from a health worker, they were more likely to be willing to take the vaccination. So rates there are low at the moment. Some very recent figures that just came out show that about just over 9% of people have two doses. So they're creeping up very slowly, but that's still extraordinarily low. But the good side, the positive side, is if we can get information out to people from health workers and other trusted people, then the vaccination rates are likely to go up. So that's, again, one of the things that our government could be helping with is either funding or health workers to roll out an information campaign around the vaccination to get those vaccination rates up.
So that team that has been sent out over the weekend, they're going to be helping with healthcare and informing the public and administering vaccines. Is that the idea, or are they there for a different reason?
The teams are a mixed bunch. So there's some logisticians from the Defence Force and Fire and Emergency. So they're presumably sort of going to help with the coordination of the emergency response and getting supplies and information and things, sort of managing it. There are two doctors and three nurses who have gone. So they will, of course, be helping on more of the healthcare side of things. But I think it's really important that local health workers and village health workers are supported with the right information so that they can tell people in their own languages, in their own ways that are appropriate for the cultural context about the vaccination, and people are far more willing to accept the information and trust it when it comes from a person that they trust. So that has to be somebody who is already living there, not necessarily an outsider. So we can definitely help. Outsiders can definitely help. And so many health workers are getting coronavirus and falling sick, and they were limited to start with. So there definitely needs to be more health workers. But alongside that, there's more that can be done to support those health workers who already work hard and know their communities to be doing more.
That makes sense. Now, let's just go back to sort of New Zealand's responsibility to its Pacific neighbours, and as you said, its family, and talking about Papua New Guinea. I understand that support has been offered, and there have been teams that have entered Papua New Guinea from Australia and I believe from the US as well. Is that correct?
I'm not 100% sure about the US. The UK definitely has. They've sent a team over of 10 healthcare workers, and Australia's given about $340 million worth of support over the last couple of years through the three waves of the coronavirus outbreak there.
Where is New Zealand sort of sitting in terms of offering help to Papua New Guinea on an international scale in comparison to other countries?
I would say we're at the bottom end, and I find that upsetting because Papua New Guinea is part of the Pacific family, and our government has talked about values of working together and caring for each other and the Ngaunatanga, this idea of extended family. And Papua New Guinea is part of the Pacific. It's a huge country with 9 million people, and it is our biggest aid program. And we've given approximately $14 million, and so compare that with Australia's $340 million. I mean, and of course Australia would be giving more because they're right next door, and it's a much bigger economy, but we can certainly be doing a lot more than that. And I think more broadly, this is one of the challenges when our government doesn't increase its aid budget, and we aren't particularly generous when it comes to aid. There isn't enough there to provide enough in the budget, so then it requires new money. But I think we mobilised, you know, billions of dollars to help New Zealanders get through the coronavirus epidemic in our country. And I think we can certainly offer a little bit more than what we've done for Papua New Guinea.
Now, just to sort of play devil's advocate on that a little bit, what would you say? What would you say to people who might say, well, we have spent billions of dollars here in New Zealand trying to get through the pandemic? You know, the economic situation is not great. We've got businesses falling through in New Zealand. Why should we be sending our money overseas to help other people?
Yeah, sure. And entirely, I understand that argument, and it's certainly something I have sympathy with because people here are struggling as well. I think, though, that we can do both. We are one of the wealthiest countries on earth, and this is a collective problem. You know, this, the whole human family is suffering from coronavirus, and as long as it's anywhere in the world, it's everywhere potentially, because it could mutate again And we really just need to get everybody to get the vaccination and stop this epidemic so that we can all get out of it together. So, yes, we do need to be doing things at home, and I think our government's done a tremendous job on that front. And I think we can be doing more overseas at the same time. It's not an either-or here.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.